This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Phil Peters, Vice President of the Lexington Institute. We want to get his reaction to the Obama administration relaxing some of the restrictions against Cuba, specifically travel to and from Cuba, as well as money that many Cubans here in this country send to their relatives on the communist island. And Phil, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
What do you make of these restrictions being eased a bit by the Obama administration? Is this a significant step or a pretty minor step?
Well, I think it's going to be significant for a lot of families in Cuba because their relatives are going to be able to visit them as they wish and help them as they wish. I think that's a good thing. It's a humanitarian thing, and it'll make a difference for a lot of households in Cuba, and so it's good in that sense. I think it's very limited, though, because our foreign policy issues between the United States and Cuba really revolve around a lot more than the 1.5 million Cuban Americans who live here. And I think that President Obama has not done at all, he hasn't touched the issue of greater contact between American society and Cuba, which I think would be very positive for our foreign policy, nor has he talked about the relationship between the two governments. If he said that he's willing to have dialogue with the Cuban government, but he has yet to fill in previously or today any of the blanks as to what he would want to talk about or when or what level, any of those things. So that remains to be known.
As you've probably seen today, Phil, there have been some members of Congress who have Cuban descent and now live in this country, of course, who say that this sends a bad message to Cuba because without really making any fundamental changes towards reform or democracy or giving any more freedom to their people, these restrictions, whether minor or significant, have been eased, and that is essentially rewarding the communist system that the Castro brothers have presided over for half a century. What do you make of their argument here?
Well, you know, I don't, not a whole lot. I mean, at the same time that they say that, their constituents are getting on planes every day of the week in Miami to go to Cuba and visit their family. And now with these measures, I'm sure many, many more will do the same thing. I respect their point. I don't see this as a situation where you're like negotiating with a mortgage broker or something. If you could give something up, you want something in return. No, I think we've made a mistake for a long time blocking contact with the people of Cuba. When President Reagan and presidents before him were dealing with the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe during the Cold War, we thought it was positive that we had no restrictions on American travel so that you'd have a flow of information and ideas. Now, it doesn't guarantee you that it ends the communist system or anything like that. But it certainly increases American influence, and we don't have a whole lot of influence in Cuba now, so I think it's a very positive thing. I don't think we should, it's a mistake we've made on our part. It's like if you're playing baseball and you're swinging bad, you correct your swing. You don't ask for concession from the other team in order to stop making a dumb mistake that's of your own doing.
Phil, you mentioned a moment ago that you'd like to see more detail, more meat in the Obama policy in terms of discussions and talks about various issues. What specifically do you think he should have brought up now or should bring up in the near future?
I'm not being critical. It's early in the administration. Cuba is not an issue that is, there's no nuclear weapons program in Cuba or anything like that. So I'm not being critical for him for focusing on the much more pressing issues. What I was saying is that he has said he's open to the idea of a diplomatic dialogue with Cuba, and at some point he's going to have to fill in the blanks and see what he means. I think that it would be constructive for us to talk to Cuba about things like controlling migration, controlling drug trafficking, protecting the maritime environment. And talks like this obviously would not erase or even begin to get at the big ideological differences we have with Cuba, but we might be able to get some things done that would be of benefit for our interests, and it would give us a chance to raise other subjects with Cuba, things like human rights, things like the fact that there's a lot of fugitives from American justice that are in Cuba, some who've gone there recently and some who took refuge there decades ago. I'm sure the Cubans would have a few gripes of their own that they would raise. So I think that would be a positive thing to do.
Phil, another thing that, of course, is part of this whole scenario is that while some consider Cuba kind of an anachronism from the Cold War, others see it as also being the inspiration for what we're seeing in places like Venezuela, Bolivia, to some extent Nicaragua, and other places in Latin America where the central government's taking more and more control of places. How big of an inspiration is Cuba to people like Hugo Chavez, and what influence can the U.S. have through a more involved dialogue with them in perhaps changing what's going on in some of those countries?
To people like Hugo Chavez or Evo Morales in Bolivia, Fidel Castro is a hero. And also the Cuban system, the socialist commitment that exists in Cuba, is something that inspires them because they see it as a system that in some way takes care of the poor. I'm not saying it's a system that I would like to live under, but they draw inspiration from that. I don't think that I think that what we've seen with people like Chavez is that they don't take inspiration from Cuba in the sense of how they get to power. He didn't come in with an armed revolution. He came in by winning a democratic election and then proceeding to erode the democratic protections inside Venezuela's constitutional system. I think Evo Morales is starting to play the same movie in Bolivia. So there's some inspirations, but there's some things where those people are of a different historical era than Fidel Castro.
Phil, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, great to have you with us.
My pleasure.
Philip Peters is vice president of the Lexington Institute, located just outside the nation's capital. Straight ahead on Dateline Washington, covering the Tea Parties. They're set for Wednesday, which is tax deadline day for 2009. But how much media coverage will the so-called Tea Parties get as they protest what they see as excessive government spending and taxation? We'll talk with Dan Gaynor, vice president of the Media Research Center's Business and Media Institute, about what kind of coverage these events deserve and what they're likely to get. Stay with us.